On item 8.2, consideration action to adopt resolution 2016-163, authorizing the mayor to execute an amended professional agreement with the city administrator. I know this has been a hot topic with the council and with citizens. I've had pros and cons both ways. I do want to say that if you look at his contract in section page 5 of 8, set down this with data today. And on the section, the second part on the commencement date, vacation leave available, that'd be that second part there, here. This shows wrong that also, so we're all looking at the right one. David has agreed to waive that. I would take out that section right there. Cost savings to the city. Now, with that being said, before we can have a discussion with the council, you've had this in front of you, that's why I wanted to say to take this out. I have to entertain a motion for us to discuss.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. James. Do we have a second?
I second.
I think this is now. Okay, with that being said, we'll start at the end with Mr. James. Any questions?
Yeah, quite a few. I'm sorry, Mike, did you
mean? No, we just had a motion talking about it for you. I'm sorry.
The motion hadn't been voted on.
No, no.
This is just for discussion only.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, a lot of discussion here. You're right about this. I think David clarified some of it today on the council bulletin board system. But basically, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. If we do nothing with this contract, then Mr. Stahl is eligible for a pay increase per his contract. He's eligible to take all of his vacation. And then at the and then also council cannot effectively reduce some of his duties, I guess is the best way to say that. If we do that, then and we do nothing, then at the end of the on whatever date David decides to retire, because these dates wouldn't matter at that point.
Right.
Then we would pay out basically 240 hours of vacation. Correct.
Correct. That's correct.
And so, but if we do this, then what Mr. Stahl is agreeing to is pretty much a 23-month contract, is the way I read it. I know that's probably not the technical term for Mr. Gregg, but that's the way I read it. And we will pay David pretty much immediately about $7,500 for 160 hours of vacation. And then at the end of the 23 months, we'll pay him again for the accrual that he has at that point, which, based upon his comments on the bulletin board system, is expected to be roughly about 68 hours, so another $3,000. So the city would be, in effect, saving, $500-$700 over the course of this contract, not counting the savings of not having a pay increase. And of course, the restructuring of his duties as he winds down, and we pay, or we bring Annie or whomever on board to transition. Am I reading all that correct?
That is correct. Was that correct, Dave? That's what.
Okay. So contrary to what's been put out there, this actually saves the city money, although it's a negligible amount. Granted. But it does save the city money, and it does take away some of Mr. Stahl's vacation, and so he'll be in the city more during this transition period.
Correct. And then Mr. Stahl, last year, I had the number down, and David, I don't know where I wrote it. What was the amount of vacation that you gave up last year?
I lost 42 hours of vacation last year.
You weren't reimbursed by that?
No.
Or that?
Correct.
Well, with this section coming out,
that is correct, David. Mr. James, what you asked.
Okay. The other question that I have, and it's I guess it's more for Mr. Stahl. We're going to define the hours. We're trying to define the hours Monday through Thursday between business times. Present for, make yourself available, present yourself however you want to say it. I know before that we talked about 10-hour days. Why don't we just define it as 4 10-hour days? Because I'm concerned that the citizens are going to note that your late Monday morning arrival, late Monday evening staying time would be a breach of contract because those are not normal business hours. So what about changing the wording just to be more specific on that? So that, yes, you're going to present yourself for work 40 hours a week, basically. And instead of trying to say during those business hours, because they don't quite add up, and I'm afraid that somebody will think it's part time and they don't recognize the hours at night, etc. Yeah.
I have no problem with that. It's more than 40 hours a week as it stands now, and I think you're right. It was a term, mutually agreed term, that I would work Monday through Thursday when I was hired, and I have that in writing from then. But there's nothing it indicates here. You're right, this should not be interpreted that Monday through Thursday is anything less than 40 hours. So, do you have some wording you'd like to propose there? I would be amenable to that.
10 hours a day.
Basically,
Monday through Thursday.
Monday through Thursday, four 10-hour days. And you're in agreement with that, Mr. Stahl?
Just a minute. So, in that paragraph, that sentence, administrator to generally strike observe model for business, replace that with 10.
What page is that on, David?
Page 6, under section 11, second paragraph, second line. Second line, it reads administrator to generally, and then we'd strike observe normal business and replace that with the word 10. That's followed by hours, and then between hours and Monday, insert per day. So it would read, city administrator to generally, I'm sorry, it would be work 10 then. Work 10 hours per day, Monday through Thursday, and will also often require performance of necessary services outside of normal business hours.
So I don't see how you can stipulate 10 hours a day and then put that last part of that sentence in there, because you know as well as anyone here that you have worked abnormal hours at times.
Sure.
During city emergencies and what have you.
Sure. Well, I would lean on the word generally.
Yeah, generally. Generally.
How about we just say a minimum of 40 hours per week?
Generally observe a minimum of 40 hours.
Right.
Monday through Thursday. How's
that sound? So we're striking the 10-hour.
So it would read now, administrator to generally work a minimum of 40 hours per day, Monday through Thursday.
Per week. I mean 40 hours.
And we drop the Monday through Thursday? Or does that stay in?
I think we need to leave Monday through Thursday.
I think it's staying. I know you're not here Friday.
Okay. Administrator to generally work a minimum of 40 hours per week, Monday through Thursday.
Correct. Next question, Mr. James.
Oh, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Okay. I got rid of a lot of questions with those changes. Still kind of perplexed as to why we're doing this now. Mr. Stahl's contract, his automatic renewing contract that's been in place for quite some time, just did this in February. With that being said, clarification on the freezing of the salary. That is not going to go into effect as far as the pay increase he was given in the last budget. Is that correct? That stands?
Correct.
Okay. I just still have some issues with, Mr. Stahl is giving as all employees did, a 4% pay raise. And this contract, now that we've got the hours thing, this way I do feel a lot better about things. But it's kind of amazing to me that you can have a reduction of responsibility, but you're still getting paid the same. I mean, I understand that there's transition that will need to occur when Mr. Stahl does return. Maybe during that point, he should be forced to take some of that vacation so we don't have to lump sum it, so we can use that as a transfer, as the transfer period. That still bothers me. But other than that...
Where I'm pushing that, not motivated, is whether we know there will be some changes in the council. Whether who's sitting up here, there's going to be a big transition from point A to point B when things go out. The other thing that we're looking at is without hiring undue staff and maybe utilizing Annie to try to move in to do some roles, if she's agreeable. And I've already talked to her, and that's still up in the air, so we don't even know if that's going to work anyway. But if that is, but you're also getting someone with experience, but we're also getting all the certifications and things he has that helps us to a certain degree. So that was my forethought from looking at it. I mean, that's just my take on it. Council can have their own take on it. That's the way I look at it.
Like I said, some of that worries that omitted quite a few of my questions and comments. So I'm good.
I can explain some of that if you like.
No, it's okay. I'm good, unless you want to.
Okay.
On the page 5, the striking of it, 80 hours, what does that equate to in dollars?
If I took no vacation in the next year, starting today, that could equate to as much as $7,600. It would accrue again, and this would knock it back to 80 and pay me in lieu of the vacation. Now, what this does is any vacation that's accrued in excess of 240 hours, I lose. I currently sit at 240 hours. I've got the maximum because it's difficult to take time off. But this then says that last year I just lose vacation time without getting paid for it.
That's all I have.
Thank you. All right. With the amendments done to this one on consideration action to adopt resolution 2016-163, there's a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Is there any further questions before we take a vote?
I have a motion to amend.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I just want to see. Okay. So I'm going to move for a motion to amend on 2016-163 now. So, do we have a motion? Anybody want to make a motion on that?
Make a motion to amend.
Read it out.
Okay. Motion to amend on page 5 of Mr. Self contract, section 7, omitting the third paragraph beginning with on the commencement date and ending with paid at separation. And furthermore, on page 6 of Mr. Self contract, section 11, paragraph 2, the second sentence will now read generally observe 40-hour work week.
Actually, we got to have the ministry to generally work a minimum of 40 hours per week, Monday through Thursday, or Monday through Thursday.
Work a minimum hours of minimum 40 hours per week, Monday through Thursday.
Correct. Mr. Jennings, you second in line? All right, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay. The ayes have it. Now going back to the original one. Consideration resolution 2016-163. There is a motion on the floor. It was made by Mr. Jennings, correct? And Mr. Snell did the second. I'm correct on that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay. The ayes have it. Moving on, item 8.3, consideration action to adopt ordinance number 2016-201, amending special speed zones on certain streets and repealing construction works zone speed limit. Before we get into this, I want to introduce Mr. Gregg with the city attorney's office. He was asked to come out here tonight because we've had quite a bit of confusion over this. I know a lot of people are asking quite a bit of this on this speeding issue. I'm not going to go back over the pros and cons of everything. We've gotten numerous emails from citizens, and you know, we've already discussed the prior meetings why this came up. So from there, I'm going to let Mr. Stahl take it, and then Mr. Gregg can answer your questions if you have anything to add to anything.
Yeah, I don't want to rehash everything, but I do want to say that the reason this came up is because we had residents requesting the city to lower their speed limit from 30 miles an hour to 20 miles an hour.
That's correct.
And specifically on South Country Club, which then of course included in the loop West Country Club and Bio. In attempting to get those residents a 20 mile an hour speed limit, we discovered that the 20 mile an hour limit that we had is not authorized, and it was advice of council that in resolving our issue, that we are lowering the speed limit on six streets from 30 to 25, and that the five streets that we currently have is 20 need to be raised to 25 to comply with the law. And that's how we got here. It was actually not an effort to raise speed limits, but it was an effort to lower speed limits. And this ordinance does that. Does both of those things, unfortunately, because it wasn't the desire to do away with the 20 mile an hour speed limit, but it was a desire to be in compliance. And this does lower the speed limit on several additional streets to 25. And if it does away with our construction speed limit zones that we had in the code for the construction on 146, which was no longer necessary. And I missed the second city, but I can speak to City of League City. The city has no city streets that are lower than 25 miles an hour in League City, and they use the same provision of the law that we have. They do have some subdivisions that are private streets that were not dedicated to the city. They remain private streets, and as private streets, they can set a lower speed limit. We don't have private streets, so we don't have that same option. And that's... I won't address any of the legal issues. No. We have an attorney here for that, but that's the ordinance that we have.
Mr. Gregg, if you'll, I know that we've been versed by numerous residents on the laws, but the legal counsel wants you versus what you came out with TML.
Sure. Well, let me first off, Christopher Gregg, Crone Gregg Law Firm. First, because we're a general law city, we have to derive our power from statutes. That's where we get our power. So when we're looking at Transportation Code 545.356, and there are various couple of sections there. Section A and Section B both require for them to apply to have an engineering traffic investigation study. If you don't have that to support, then A and B aren't applicable. B1 is really what is being offered tonight in what is presented before you. B1 is the standard that if you do not have an engineering traffic study, you can, as a council, lower it to no lower than 25 if you make a determination that the speed in which the street you're trying to change is unreasonable and unsafe. So, without a traffic study, you can go to 25 by statute. What has been addressed tonight is a specific section, B3. B3, this is what it says, the governing body of a population of less than 2,000, which does apply here. For a highway or part of a highway in a municipality that is a one-lane highway used for two-way access, and that is not an officially designated marked highway of the highway system, may declare a lower speed limit of not less than 10 miles an hour if the governing body determines that the prima facie speed on that street is unreasonable and unsafe. The problem with that issue comes down to a one-lane highway used for two-way access. I did talk to Scott Houston. He is the executive counsel for TNO. I did issue a legal opinion. I hope everyone saw it. And at the time when I talked to him, I think the most, when he was first asked to look at it, that is the law. And this was for a specific city similar to this, but it dealt with a roadway in this specific example where the legislature said okay. It dealt with a very narrow street. It dealt, from what I heard from Scott, it was more like a 15-foot street. So we're talking about a very small street where oncoming traffic, you would have to give deference. You'd have to stop your car so that someone could go by, so then you could go. The reason I've come out and said that there's an issue is because the issue that was addressed to Mr. Houston, too, at the TML had to do with a 36-foot road. And it just seemed to me to seem logical that the larger the roadway we're talking about, the less likely you're going to be able to claim that it's a one-lane road for two-way access. So that's the issue. I went on further to say, if you as a council want to declare that road, 36-foot roadway, as unsafe and an unreasonable current speed, and you want to make that declaration that it is a one-way roadway with two-way access, in your opinion as a whole, you can do that. The question then comes, well, what happens if someone argues about it? There's two ways. Someone can file suit to try to invalidate your ordinance by in essence saying, well, it doesn't make sense by the statute you're going under. And then secondly, you have people that are going to be issued speeding citations on the street in question, and you're going to have defense attorneys come in here against your prosecutor and usually probably going to use that argument, saying that it's not a valid improvement speed because they don't agree that it's a one-lane highway used for two-way access. That's the issue. So can you do it? Yes. Do I advise you to do it? No. The law allows you 25. That's what it says. And unfortunately, we derive our power from the law. But, once again, you can do it. But tonight, the ordinance is in front of you, in my opinion, is written under B1, which is authorizing all these streets to go to 25 because you can go to 25 without a traffic study. But if you wanted to go under A or B, if you get a traffic study, it's going to cost a lot of money. But, and I think I'm talking to David, the last traffic study that was performed was in 1978. So, and just for the record, under that traffic study in 1978, that report declared that 30 was reasonable. So we can't even rely on the current 1978 to say that 20 is okay. That's the problem you have right now. You don't have a traffic study that supports it under AB. You can go to 25. And B3, you got to be able to, as a whole, say that you think I'm assuming we're talking about Miramar, that Miramar is a one-lane highway with two-way access. And the larger it gets, the only thing I would caution council is that it makes it more of an argument from some other perspective to say, how is a 36-foot, or 20, I think Miramar is 20, but obviously the larger you get, the more it can be attacked. So those are really the options you have tonight. But what's presented tonight is under B1. And if it passes tonight, all the streets would be 25 that are referenced in the
streets. Yeah, I think I can. Give me a second. While David's getting that put up on the screen, I'll just go down to the right. Mr. Wheeler, would you have questions for our attorney?
I think you answered this with the section B, which would answer Ms. Sanford's.
She was talking about B3. She's talking about B3, where it's a population less than 2,000. But you have, what I'm saying is, if you go under that section, council's going to have to make a majority vote say that.
So there's some validity to what she's saying, but
it's
the question is, you have to, you as a body are going to have to declare that you think that this street in question that you're trying to go to 20 is one that fits underneath that. And you have to declare it is a one-way highway or street with two-way access.
So Mayor Barr is saying with historic Boulevard.
And that's the issue. So that
which would put our police department in a position where it's basically an unenforceable ordinance law.
Your defense attorneys for speeding tickets will love it.
Okay, the more I don't have any other questions.
No. All right. Above in the red are the current 20 mile an hour zones. This is Windleaf. This is Bioforest. This is Bioforest. These are 30, I thought they were 36, but when they're measured, they're 39 feet wide. This is 27 feet wide. And this North Country Club is 20 foot new concrete. I don't know what the rhyme and reason was why only this segment is 20, while this is 30, and this is 30, and this is 30. This is what I have proposed. The rationale here is that the winding streets that we have, all of these streets wind, unlike the other streets in our city. And this was the section that the resident was concerned about the speed. This is West Country Club, South Country Club, and West Bio, all of which is currently 30 miles an hour. And the ordinance tonight would take all the streets that are orange here, including Forest, and East and West Bio and South Country Club on this side and East Country Club up to Shortridge Boulevard. And it would be consistent throughout the city that all of our curved streets here then would be 25 miles an hour. This is on the west side of the city. On the east side of the city, there are no additional new streets. It would be Miramar and Circle abutting Circle Park, or Park abutting Circle Park that would go from the 20 to the 25. So the real change, other than the 20 going to 25, are adding all of these additional new streets where speeding has been a chronic concern and making them 25 instead of 30.
Mr. Adams?
I don't have any questions for the attorney.
I don't have any questions for the attorney either.
Mr. Jennings? I know I didn't call for a motion yet, but I went ahead and started it, so I'm taking that latitude to let it go.
I don't have any questions for Mr. Gregg. Thank you for your opinion.
Mr. Gregg, thank you.
Sure.
With that being said, item 8.3, consideration action to adopt ordinance 2016-201, meaning special speed zones upon certain streets and repeating construction work zone speed limit. I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to discuss.
Make a motion to discuss. All right, we have a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion to discuss. Now, second. All right, Mr. Jennings, take off.
Yeah. Mr. Stahl, is there any reason why we can't just designate all of the streets in the city of Shore Acres as 25 miles per hour? And then make an exception for Shore Acres Boulevard at spur 5 up to 501 and spur 501. And then have that way we're consistent on all streets at 25 miles per hour. I mean, we heard from a gentleman earlier saying that his street was very narrow and 30 miles per hour. And is there any reason we couldn't do that instead of naming these certain streets?
The answer to your question is no. There isn't any reason we couldn't do that. And the only reason I didn't bring you an ordinance like that is that I didn't want to overreach solving the problem that was at hand, but I would certainly support that, and I think that it would be good for all of our residential streets with 25, the exception being Shore Acres Boulevard, and Spur 51, 501 rather, and 146, and the access on-ramps and off-ramps to 146, absolutely.
Okay. And if we were to do this and become and get in compliance with the general law, is there any reason we cannot go back at another council meeting and say, okay, well, now that we've had time to think about it, we decided that Miramar is a one lane two-way, and we're going to go ahead and lower that to 10 miles per hour. Is there anything preventing us from doing that if we first fix the problem that we have right now and then go back and do that to certain streets?
Not to prevent you from doing that as long as you make that declaration under that code.
Okay. So we can fix the problem tonight.
Yes.
And then at a subsequent council meeting, we can fix the park problem.
Well, Mr. Jennings, I would also suggest that my experience in other cities and doing traffic and traffic studies, hiring them done, is that if you were to do what you say and we were to take all the streets east of Broadway, old 146, spur 501, and make them 25, then what happens is Short Acres Boulevard here to Miramar and Fairfield to Miramar being 25 has a domino effect of slowing traffic down that reaches Miramar. Because one of the effects you have is cars driving 30 miles an hour and then they hit a 20-mile-an-hour zone, which is what happens now. Every one of those streets is 30 till you hit Miramar, and then you're asking people to go from 30 to 20 today, and if as it is here, from 30 to 25, I think you'll find you'll have slower traffic on Miramar just by making those streets that access at 25.
Does that change the golf cart rule also?
It does not. The golf cart is... 40 or 45.
40.
And 40 the only.
More than 40.
Yeah, and so you can cross Spur 501 and you can cross Short Acres Boulevard, and we turn a blind eye to go karts that make the loop across the bridge because there's no way to get east and west. But this wouldn't have an impact on the golf carts.
And you can always go back and modify. That's what I think. The only problem that is, it still leaves that loophole for the attorneys to find us for that engineering declaration, correct? That's really proven without an engineering study. Why is it saying that width?
Under B3, you're not going to need the traffic study.
Okay.
Under B3, you're just going to have to declare that it is that the street in question is a one lane. two-way accident. That's what you, and that the speed that currently is there is unreasonable.
So if I were to make a motion to amend, saying section 126A to say all streets in the city of Short Acres will be 25 per miles per hour, with the exceptions of B, C, D. That would take care of this problem. And then it would be
clear. Say that one more time.
Okay. Well, yeah, B is a 40 mile hour zone on Short Acres Boulevard from 146 to 501.
Yes, yes. I could be, that's correct. You could make that.
Okay, I'll make a motion to amend.
While we get any other questions,
okay.
Can I back to you for a minute? Jerome?
No.
Questions, I got comments.
Okay.
I tend to agree very strongly with what Mr. Moyer said. Being able to utilize some of the access to the people that live in the city where we could actually have someone else review this, I think this is bad business, even if we change everything to 25 miles an hour, because we're going to have to put the signs up to say 25, and if we turn around and change them back to 10, are we going to, you know, how fast are we going to be able to do that? We still are going to have people that aren't happy. You know, if we're going to do it, why don't we just do it right the first time and take care of all of this next week so we can actually look at an ordinance that actually says what it means instead of constantly having to amend and tweak and wait. I think that's bad. So I think there's an easier, more fluid way of doing this, where there will eliminate a lot of the confusion instead of having to piecemeal everything together, divide it up over 2 weeks. You know, who knows what will happen next week. But so I personally would rather see more streets that can be utilized under B3. There's a reason that exists for cities less than 2,000 people. And there's also a reason our transportation code, section 311.002, says that council has the exclusive authority to deem these streets, designate them one way or one lane, two way, and We could have a street that's 150 feet wide. If we say it's one lane, two ways, that's it, that's what it is. I also like to make mention of some of the comments I've heard about enforcement of speed limits and defense attorneys. Well, you already said earlier they're making deals before they even get here anyway. So, big deal. People shouldn't, you know, we can put the speed limit to 5. People are still going to speed. We all know that. That's just part of living where there's streets. You know, unless we want to make a big parking lot of the 146 and we all have to use golf carts. I mean, other than that, people are just going to speed. They're going to haul butt. And there's only so much we can legislate against human stupidity. But I do not like this ordinance the way it's written. I certainly would like to see D3 as provided in the Texas Transportation Code utilized. I'd like these streets to be a little bit more thoroughly scrutinized. I don't agree with us saying carte blanche, everybody 25, and then, oh, and next week we'll make a change here, and then we'll make a change there. We just need to have something nice and uniform and succinct. And that's my 2 cents.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Ellis?
I think the 25 is just way too fast. I mean, my wife and I walk Country Club, Bayou Forest, and 8 years ago I petitioned all the Bayou Forest Lindley to lower the speed limit from 30 to 20. I got a unanimous petition signed, and even so, with the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit signs, people are still going 30. The kids are out. There's more kids. I got grandkids now. They're playing in the street. It's unsafe, and so I'm not for the 25, and I agree with Alderman Snell about revisiting the wording and coming up with a revised ordinance.
All right. Thanks, sir. Mr. Wheeler.
I have two thoughts on this. One, I have no problem with the suggestion by Mr. Boyer, but as our city attorney has said, the law is still the law, and no matter how much we disagree with it, if we can't find a loophole in that law, then we're going to be stuck with whatever. Now, the other thought is, we have, as Mr. Victor said, Miramar that I believe is Mr. Victor, Miramar fronts Miramar Park from one end to the other. Circle Park is designated as Circle Park Drive. Isn't there a possibility to declare those as park roads and set the speed limit at 10 miles an hour?
Is that possible? Legally?
I'd have to look into that.
I mean, that's something that, you know, if, you know.
I think it's easier just to use D3, one lane, two way.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that you can declare this as B3 and one lane, two way. I think that a good defense attorney, if we were to issue a ticket, would tear that up. And that's my issue. Why, you know, you say, well, we want to do this right the first time. Well, okay, if we can get another governmental body to agree with that, then sure, let's try it. But, you know, I agree. I don't like the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit through there. If we can find another government body that will agree with us, then, you know, I'm all for it.
Well, the Texas legislature already has under the Texas Transportation Code.
As you read it.
No, as Mr. Gregg read it.
So, once again, with regard to B3, as a whole, as a majority of y'all, you would have to declare the street in question currently has an unsafe and unreasonable speed. And you would have to declare that roadway is a one-lane, two-way access. If you do that, then you can make that roadway anything above 10. 10 or above. Cannot go below 10 using that section. Then the questions come in, what happens after the fact? You're not going to know that. Until you don't know
until
it.
Until you do it, right.
But you can do it.
I'm not comfortable with the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit down through there. I would like to see it lowered. Enforcement issue, you know, that's always going to be something because, unfortunately, the police officers can't sit down on Miramar 24 hours a day. It's just not going to happen. So, I don't like this ordinance. So, until we do something different with it, I don't know.
Mr. Jane, you wanted to hold off and push this, get it redefined out a little bit?
Oh, I'd make a motion to table.
Craig, would you make a motion?
We'll go ahead and postpone to the motion on the floor.
Can I ask the city attorney where this leaves us with the streets that are...
Well, that was my next question. How's the legal issue with what we've got now?
Where is that? You're currently what they're posted at right now. And the arguments are still the same as they come
still in. Still the
same. Still right. Okay. Nothing's changed.
So our police officers can write citations knowing that it's not been declared a single lane, two way.
Yes, because it's posted that way right now.
They can still write up legally on that.
Yes, they can write.
They can write.
The question is what happens.
What happens at that time?
That is correct.
That's coming.
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. So what motion is on the table right now?
Well,
there was one for discussion. So the discussion has been done. We're going to make another motion to table. Mr. James made a motion to table. We have a second.
Second.
Are we postponing or tabling?
Yeah, I was going to say, if we table it, it's... I mean, you still bring it back to the table. It doesn't matter. Either way. So, all right. With that being said, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? The ayes have it. Be tabled. Be brought back to the table. Be 8.4, consideration and action to set the date and range for dates for spring cleanup. All right. You already know. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Once again, 8.4 consideration, thank you all. In action to set the date, range, and date for spring cleanup, green up collection. Approval of material to be collected in the manner of the collection. This was brought up earlier in the citizens' comments, and we were trying to have the chipper service out here just to try to do the best they could because I knew I was putting this on the agenda. What this is about is to get with the council and see what we can do about maybe bringing another roll off up here, putting it down here at the Public Works Department, and then the chipper come out and do some chipping also. But what the chipper doesn't get, the folks can bring to the roll off. With that being said, we can see if there's, I miss anything on that, David, that we were talking about adding to it.
No, you got it. There's a memo in the back.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a memo, that was pretty much it. So what I wanted to look with the council is see what kind of dates we were talking about. There's a specific date, it matters. I would like to give enough time for the citizens to all know, and I want to ask you this one. I would like to post that on the gateway side also, so people can see it as they're coming in. I was thinking somewhere about mid-April, give people enough time to be prepared. They can figure out what trimming they want to do, get into that type of area. Is there any questions?
Date for that?
Why don't we go ahead and ask for a motion first? There's no motion on this. There's no motion on this. So let me look at dates. Do you have a job on that you pull up on the Outlook?
Yep.
No, it's not it. No.
This will give you time to put in the water bill also, correct?
Yes, sir. I'm looking to try and get it out as much as it can to everybody. Foreign privilege. That's fine. Now take foreign privilege. This is Mike here. No, Mike. That's it, Mike. It's not Mike. We're looking at David in April. The water bill goes out. Good evening, Mr. Stan. When's the next water bill?
It would go out. It would go out on the 12th or the 13th. So the date that I had proposed would be too early.
How about the last week in April, David?
The 23rd and 24th?
Yes, sir.
I don't see any conflicts from the city's perspective.
The council has an issue with that, Dean. Are you outside? Any input?
That would be making the roll-off available on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, and that we would curbside chip material
that was put out on that weekend on the 25th, 26th, and that's necessary to the 27th.
So roll off will be here on the 22nd?
Yes, sir.
If he picks up what date again? How many days do we get to the 25th?
Well, that would give you access to the roll-off on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the weekend.
All right.
The reality is we'll use the roll-off to take the chippings so that we don't have to run the truck further and tie it up. So the roll-off would be there for a week.
Why don't we go ahead and select those days? We put that in our water bill, and we run it the week of the starting the 11th through the 15th, we just go ahead and have it on the side of the gateway popping up every now and then. And that gives people 2 weeks notice that hey, it's coming.
Are we going to be able to keep the chipping?
Chipping garden for all the city?
How much do we have on our budget there?
We have to figure out how you want to do that. I mean, if it's going into the roll-off, it may take a while to roll off. We put some next to the roll-off. Chip would pick it up.
I mean, like on the other side, 146.
That's been a real problem for us. As soon as we did that, then people start hauling everything over there and dumping, yeah. And it costs us. And last time, we had the chippings. We had two residents. We put it at Circle Park. At that time, the parking area was in better shape. We're waiting on some millings to fix that parking. But we piled it there, and then we got complaints that there were termites in the chippings. And people were blaming us for spreading termites in the city. So, but yes, I'd be happy to have them dump a load out there next to it. If you'd like to come get some, we can always scoop it up with the backhoe on the last day the dumpster, the roll-off is there, take it away. But I don't have a suitable place for long-term storage for shipping.
Okay.
If you have one that you'd like to suggest that would work, I'd be more than happy to do it, though.
Any questions from anybody else? All right. Well, we've got that, so we'll move on to 8.5. Discussion and approval of Resolution 2016-166. Ratify the mayor's nominee in employment position for planning and zoning commission, a term beginning March 24, 2016, and ending January 31, 2017. Employments to position 4 and 5 of the planning and zoning commission for term beginning March 28 and ending January 2018. We've discussed people with the names, and I'll talk to some of the folks that are taking this position. I've got quite a few that have agreed to it.
We have three positions open?
That's correct. Kendall Pickett, thank you. And, to serve 2 years ending January 31st, 2017. Position four, Scott Toomer, to serve 2 year term ending January 31st, 2018. Position five, Johnny Hill, to serve 2 years ending January 2018. That being said, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 2016-166.
Mr. Adams, do I have a second?
No, sir.
Any questions from the council? None being, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Against or nay? Ayes have it. All right. And discussion and approval of resolution 2016-167, ratified the mayor's nominee to appointment to position five and seven of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. For term beginning March 28, 2016, and ending January 31st, 2018. That position is, she's not here tonight, Mrs. Pickett, her husband, or name will be here tonight, but to serve a 2 year term ending January 31st, 2018. Position 7 by Ms. Morgan Jones to serve her as a 2 year term ending January 31st, 2018. Mrs. Jones is one of our former aldermen's daughter, and she's done a fantastic job. With that being said, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Mike, Mr. James, do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you all for now. Any questions?
I have a question about Ms. Jones. Mr. Stahl, were you able to, is she going to be a junior member or are we?
Yes, she has been. This should be reappointed. She's 15 years old.
Yeah, okay, we still got time. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, she's still
got so many children. I forget how old they are. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay. Say or nay? No? Okay. All right. Thank you. With that being said, I'll adjourn at 8:41.